When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Any minute now, the aliens are coming. You're listening to Big Blend Radio's Champagne Sunday Show with Nancy and Lisa and special guest co-host Marisa Aquina of Porto Vino. Our Porto Vino wine bags, everybody, go to porto-vino.com. It's stealth. It's cool.
Our next James guest Bond.
I know. James Bond had his martinis, but like he could do a martini.
You could
shake it up in the bag.
You could do it.
Yeah.
You could do a martini. You could.
Shake it up. Shake it up, big boy.
Why?
All right. So our next guest is Chef Ivan Flowers. He's a 5-star chef, a culinary instructor, teaches high school students in Temecula, California, in Southern California. And he's joining us to share his oven-roasted barbecue chicken recipe, which looks absolutely delicious.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out the recipe on blendradioandtv.com, as well as many more of his recipes. And you can listen to his interviews there. And his recipe will be featured in the next issue of Big Blend Radio and TV Magazine. Chef Ivan Flowers, we have missed you. How are you?
How are you, ladies? Good afternoon.
We're
hey.
Great.
Good afternoon. We're great. We're late with you on the show. Sorry. And we're
got
here. But we're here. We're having a good time. We got Marisa of Porto Vino. So we're all like happy and excited. We've been talking about your chicken all day. Because it looks
really
good. I'm drooling already. Like, seriously. It's going to sound bad through this headset.
She's done that since day one.
No, but it looks good. It looks sticky.
It looks
sweet
delicious.
And good. It mm-hmm. really does. It looks like, yeah, mommy.
Yummy.
Come to mommy.
Yeah.
Eat the barbecue.
Exactly.
It's good for you. You can eat the chicken. It looks like it has the texture as well. It looks really good, Ivan.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you really leave chicken out at room temperature for an hour? That's the first thing I went like, oh.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You should leave most proteins out for an hour before you cook them. You never want a protein to go in ice cold to an oven. Yeah, that makes all the difference in the world for cooking time and also retaining juice. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a good tip.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay. So this is the other thing. It's interesting because what about eggs? Like if you could cook an egg, should you take your eggs out for a while before you make an omelet?
Not necessarily, but eggs can sit out for long periods of time. As a matter of fact, when supermarkets buy them by the pallet, sometimes they'll actually keep them in a cool, dark place in the back if they don't have room in the refrigerator, and they're fine.
Huh.
Eggs are, eggs are pretty versatile that way because of the shells.
Wow. And it does depend on whether you're buying them straight from the farm or not. Like I remember buying them from a farm and hearing that you could keep those eggs for almost 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it depends on that whole
mm-hmm.
process thing. It's weird. Like in chicken
mm-hmm.
now, what should we be looking for when we even buy chicken? Like when we go, you talk about getting a whole chicken and cutting it up instead of buying the pieces. Go and
mm-hmm.
get the whole thing. So what should we be looking for when we get the whole chicken?
I like where it's mostly white. The skin is mostly white versus yellow. Yellow, you know, is good too. It just means probably they're eating a lot of corn. You could tell when a chicken is fresh. It's rosy. You can see the skin is moist. When you take the, the liver and the stomach out, the chicken should smell super fresh. If there's any juice coming out, it should be super red. When you look inside the cavity around the rib cage and stuff, you see super red, which means the chicken hasn't been sitting for a long time.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. And then you cook, like, any tips on chopping it all up yourself? Because I would look at a chicken and go, like, there's like an, you teach high school kids. And Marisa, you're a parent. So, like, when you bring the whole chicken out, do your boys go, ew? You know, like, I don't want to touch this.
You know what? They spend as little time in the kitchen during any of that. I think as soon as I start cooking, they're, like, usually gone because the last thing they want me to do is ask them to help out at that end of it. They're good at the other end of cleaning up, but they don't like to cook. But my dad's from Italy and grew up on a farm, and my mom's from France, but with Italian, you know, parents, and they always buy the whole chicken and, you know, the whole, even, you know, rabbits and everything else. So, and, yeah, it's amazing. So I'm sure, like, it does taste better, you know, but.
Oh, so Ivan, the whole chicken. So do you bring this to your students? To do?
Oh, yeah. It's huge lessons. For example, let's say chicken goes on sale for 48 cents a pound, and you buy an entire chicken. It's going to cost you, let's say you buy two of them, it's going to cost you a low amount. It's really easy to fabricate a chicken. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most easiest cuts that you can do. It's, you know, it's simple. You know, you're going down the leg, you're popping the joint, you're taking the breasts off. It's really simple. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Amazing on cost. If you're buying boneless, skinless chicken breasts, you can pay $8, $9 a pound.
Yeah.
A chicken, once it's cut up and it's put out in its pieces, they make a fortune on that. Now, I like a whole roasted chicken. You know, my wife does a three citrus where she stuffs the cavity and we roast it slowly. And, you know, that's one of the juiciest ways to do it. Here, the chicken is cut up into 9 pieces. And by cutting it smaller, it enables you to have the sauce on the chicken where the sauce doesn't burn. It just gets that sticky, sweet, garlicky, smoky barbecue taste.
Yeah.
And the chicken cooks perfectly. If you did it on a whole chicken and then you put the sauce on it in the beginning, the sauce would burn before the chicken got cooked.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So by doing a 9-piece cut, it enables you to have pieces that are perfectly moist and tender, and then that sticky, sweet, smoky barbecue glaze on the outside.
Would you do this with turkey? Because I'm just saying Thanksgiving's coming up, and I've heard people, like, these different reports of, like, the turkey farmers are freaking out because of COVID that the huge family gatherings aren't happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, some are saying, no, they'll still do it and have a lot of leftovers and do things. And then some are saying, oh, they're going to look for a smaller cut, but no one's prepared for it because, you know, they've been raising these turkeys before COVID, you know. So do you think people may actually turn to chicken as an idea? Like, I'm just thinking, I mean, or can you use this idea?
With the turkey, certainly, you would baste it towards the end with the sauce. You wouldn't put it on in the beginning. You would do a couple of bastes, maybe the last hour or so. But I do believe people might be going to chicken over turkey. I think you're going to see a lot of turkeys in the supermarkets after Thanksgiving. In the frozen section, discounted immensely.
Mm. Well, and that's a good time to buy it all up, because what's wrong with turkey, you know?
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You
can, I think you can, Ivan, you tell me, most recipes, if it says chicken, you could put turkey in.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Really, you know, people freak out when they cook a turkey. It's just like cooking a chicken. It's just the same thing.
It's a big dinosaur chicken.
Okay, wait. Okay, I have another question. So if you get a whole chicken or a whole turkey and you cut it up like you're talking about, right, and then you barbecue it and, or put the salt, you cook it and everything, but once mm-hmm. you've cooked it, can you refreeze it again, even if it's come from a frozen? So that would be a double freezing.
You can. If it's cooked and stuff, you can throw it in the freezer, but it's not going to – when you go to cook it again, it's going to be a little dry. Once you cook something twice,
yeah,
it's not going to be the same when you cook it once. So, but you could.
Mm. So let's talk about the sauce, because you're talking about you've got you've cut the chicken, and then you're going to combine all the ingredients, and you have low-sodium soy sauce, Worcestershire sauce, granulated garlic, smoked paprika, sugar-free hickory barbecue sauce, half of an orange, I want to talk about that, some red wine vinegar, sriracha, sugar-free teriyaki, spicy Szechuan pepper sauce. So I'm seeing a lot of sugar-free, low-sodium stuff going on. Does that ruin the flavor by doing that?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, that's the whole point of the dish. Even the Szechuan is low sugar, low salt. When you use barbecue sauce.
Sriracha's in there too, yeah. Sorry.
Yes. They're full of sugar and salt.
Yeah. Yep.
Full. If it has way too much sugar, it's going to burn in the oven.
Hmm.
So when you use a heavy sugared barbecue sauce, sugar caramelizes quickly. And that causes it to burn. This is so much healthier. I mean, you look in a barbecue sauce is at 8 to 1,200 milligrams of salt, unbelievable amounts of sugar. You control all of this. The flavor is fabulous because the sauces are given enough time to caramelize with the tomato product in it itself and the Szechuan and the sriracha and the orange juice, which is a natural sugar, to get that glaze, and you're eating much healthier, so much healthier.
That's great.
The orange brings in the natural sugar. That's cool. Sorry, Marisa, what were you saying?
No, I said that's a good tip because I'm always trying to cut down on sugars, and, you know, it's true. It's like I almost cook separate for my kids than I do for me because I, you know, I try to stay away from a lot of that stuff, but they, you know, they love barbecue sauce and things, and I'll make my own, and it's true, it's so much healthier, but I didn't even know they sold sugar-free barbecue sauce, or that's awesome, or sugar-free teriyaki sauce, that's a really good tip.
And so when you add the orange juices, that would add the sugar as a substitute, but it's okay because it's natural.
Yeah, it just works. You're creating a big gas streak. A gas streak is any time you take an acid and something sweet. So you've got the sweetness of some of these things, and then you've got the red wine vinegar and also the acidity of the orange, or you could do it with lemon. Barbecue sauce is just a big gas streak. Ketchup is a huge gas streak.
Yeah, dude.
Once you use a gas streak and you know how to position salt and sugar and acidity, you can get it exactly where you want it, where it's not too sweet and it's not too tart. It's just perfect. And that's what a gastric can do.
Just like chemistry class.
Oh, boy. But it's so true. We eat, you know, after spending, oh, my God, I mean, literally 40 years in the industry. The time I was a kid with my dad. I teach and I teach and I teach and I really push nutrition. We are eating so much more salt and sugar than we should. And you know the killer of it all, what's getting people really sick is sugar.
Yeah.
It's sugar.
It's in everything. I mean, everything. You know, even bread. I mean, everything that you don't think is in it. And it's just, it's shocking when you start paying attention.
Right.
You think. If you try to, if you say, I'm not going to eat sugar, like, and I was kind of given a 10-day, don't eat this, and sugar was one of them, and it's insane. Like, oh, you have sugar in this? Like, how is that possible?
We just had a class. We were talking about bread. And I said, guys, French baguettes have no sugar, and they have no fat. Sourdough,
but the yeast has
some
sugar.
Of it is, the yeast has sugar?
It, to me, it tastes like sugar. Like the yeast has a sugary taste to me. It's sweet. Does that make sense? I don't know.
No, she's just drinking beer.
Eat sourdough and eat French
baguette. Oh, I love sourdough. Well, but okay. Okay, there's a difference.
But it has no fried sugar.
Tracy knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. There's sourdough. Yeah, everything's different. It's
wild.
About how long you leave it.
It's like we read everything. It's like you give kids a King's Hawaiian bread and delicious, right? Sugar's a natural tenderizer, but it's like, oh man, what is better than a King's Hawaiian roll? You know, hello.
But,
you just have to watch.
I'm almost at the point, if it has a label, don't buy it. Here's a head of cabbage. I don't need a label. It doesn't even have one, because it's a cabbage. So this is the onion. That's a tomato.
Right.
Anything that's packaged, I'm just saying.
But
anything that's processed, you're giving the food company, they're making it for you. Anytime it's processed, it's going to sit on a shelf. It's going to have emulsifiers. It's going to have additives.
Yeah.
It's going to have chemicals. So you have to look more and more now. There are foods being put out that are really a lot more responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to tell everybody that Ivan's recipe is on blendradioandtv.com. So those listening live, I know we're going to go off air in a second here.
Uh-oh.
So our timing. But I want to dig deeper because everyone, you'll hear this on the re-airing of this as it goes in a few minutes. It'll all be fine. Ivan, in regards to this, the chicken, right, you're going to bake it, but you leave it out for an hour. You're going to bake it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're doing it ourselves. And I think this is something important. Do you see now with your students and what's going on in the world that more people are actually cooking now and looking at what they're doing? But then you do need to still look at those ingredients. What Marisa was saying and you were saying, it's like, hey, I just want to make a sauce, but everything, all the ingredients have all this crap in them, right?
Right.
So
right.
We need to be, but are you seeing more people cooking now than last year?
I'd like to say yes, and then sometimes yes, but for the most part, Uber, Grubhub, deliveries, frozen foods, pop it in the microwave, is on the rise.
And all
on
those
the rise.
Boxes. Listen, Uber and Lyft, Uber and Lyft are going away out of LA. They kicked them out, which is sad.
Yeah.
But there's a whole other thing that has to do with independent contractors versus employee law and all that. But do you see the box? Do you think the box things that come to people with the boxed food being on the rise too?
Yes.
Uh-oh, I just pissed off Ivan.
let me tell you something. When somebody goes, it's $100 off your first order, what are you doing, buying a car? I mean, what are you buying, a car? I mean, if it's $100, and this is like for four meals just for dinner.
That's the thing. I've looked into it too, because some of them look like they're very health focused, but like it's so expensive. You think like I'd rather just order it from the restaurant than if I have to do, you know.
I'm just gonna go out and eat a lawn.
Don't. There's pesticides in it.
I'll be one of those goats you can hire to graze your lawn so you don't have to mow it.
Ivan, it's interesting. You know, as we travel, we try to cook, and now we do, you know, we pets it. And so we do have opportunities to cook, and we're always in a different kitchen, which is always, I feel like we should call you every time we land somewhere and say, check out
so
this kitchen, because the utensils are different. Everybody's cooking something different.
It is
and
so
every family, and it goes according to ethnicity. It goes according to what's in the region, which is very interesting to us. And
it's
so you
really
kind of like, you get used to your own thing. And then it's like, well, maybe we should cross over into this way of cooking and learn this. What is this apparatus they have? Or what is this coffee maker that we really don't understand?
I've been doing? I've been cooking in kitchens that don't even have a spatula. And I'm like, lost. I want my own spatula. no, I don't know what to do without a spatula. I'm like, okay, I'm a dumb person in the kitchen because I can't flip anything because I don't have a spatula. Then you're forced to try to flip the pan like you see on the Galloping Gourmet, and it always goes wrong. And let me tell you, it goes wrong. I want a spatula.
You know, what we're having for dinner tonight, so we took super, super lean, 93% lean ground turkey, and I made wasabi, orange marmalade, and sugar-free orange marmalade, and a touch of low-fat cream cheese to make an Italian, like potete, small meatball.
Yeah.
Then we made confit tomatoes. That's been in the oven for 4 hours.
Oh, my God.
And we have a side of salmon that I freeze and then bring out, and we cut sashimi, and then we do all accoutrements with the sashimi. So that's the high protein.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Low fat. We have cauliflower, we have roasted mushrooms, we have roasted asparagus. And it's like, you know, Tracy will cook on a Sunday, and we have vegetables up to the ceiling, and we have them all week. They go in omelets, they go on the side, they get added to things. She puts them in salads. It's what's going in your body. You got to be careful.
Sounds delicious.
Chef Ivan. I wanted to touch on, too, with what you talk about. I mean, all of this, you know, as we've traveled, we've also stayed on a farm. And we've had people who've actually made marmalade that's really, really good.
So cool. Jar.
I mean, we've had that. You know, Eva, our friend Eva Eldridge, made marmalade out of her lemons and sent it to us. And Nancy made crepes when we were in the desert during the pandemic, made crepes and put lemon marmalade in there. It was so good.
So good.
And then we were just on a farm in Tennessee, East Tennessee, the farm at Spring Creek, where we had played Portovino wine interview with Aaron. And we actually sat with them. We did a lot of recipe video. We did one. I mean, this family really homesteads. So whatever they harvest, they make. You go into their pantry, Ivan, you would freak the hell out. Like, it is preserves. They have, like, the basement is preserves and jams and preserves. Preserved okra. It's the only way Nancy will eat okra. And they everything they grow raise is going to go into the pot for food or for the farmer's market. And so we did a recipe video with pear honey, which is not honey. It's pears. And they mix it with pineapple and tastes like honey. It's amazing.
So good.
Grass-fed beef, and we learned about grass-fed beef. We hung out with the cows, and it was this amazing experience of truly seeing a family of multiple generations, three generations, come together on this piece of land and use what they're working for.
Yeah,
and they're doing educational programs are coming as they develop to get kids on the farm. Already doing a little bit of it, but it
that's
blew
so
my
cool.
mind how they've just always been living this way even beforehand. And
it's awesome.
They're using every single thing to make a jam, preserve, pickle, do this, do that, because winter comes there. So they're really living with the seasons. So I think, isn't that something about doing that? I mean,
you
come from New York too? I mean, Marisa, you're upstate New York. Where are you from?
Yeah.
I mean, we got close to you guys. I mean, Ivan, we were thinking about you. We went to Delaware. We went to Maryland. Pennsylvania. We've been up north, and it's crazy. We're going to go back up in a few weeks. But, I mean, is that how you live too? Like, I know you're kind of more city, right, where you were?
Yeah. You know, we shop the perimeter. Hmm. With us, it's always fresh fruits,
yeah,
vegetables. Mm-hmm. That's how we live. We do the Mediterranean diet: grains, good olive oils, avocados,
yeah,
nuts, low-fat
mm-hmm
cheeses, olives. We roast our own peppers. We confit our own tomatoes. You know, we make our own stocks. We love to cook.
Mm.
You know, it's not a chore. We love to cook.
Mm.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I think, unfortunately, in the haste of just life, I've always enjoyed cooking, but then it gets to a point where you're like, oh, what am I going to make? You know, and I personally try to eat vegan and, no sugar. And it's crazy, like, how you change your whole way of thinking. Because I grew up on, like, Italian food. Like, my mom was an amazing cook. But yeah, everything I knew was that. And really, you know, there are other cookings that are much more conducive to, like, gluten-free and vegan and definitely Italian food internally isn't it. But you kind of have to, like you said, you have to shop the perimeter and find really unique ways of kind of making good food that is different.
My wife's vegetarian since she's five, and she does vegetarian cooking like you would drop dead if you
mm-hmm
ate this food. I mean, it's
yeah
like, this
it's
isn't
good
eating vegetables. It's just
yeah
like the true talent of a cook or a chef, give them vegetables, see what they can do with it. That's
yeah
the true test.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think there's more and more out there, but you know, because you'll look at people are using different vegetables to make things that we normally would consider to be the normal food, it's amazing what some of this food tastes like. That so good.
Mm. You have to pick the right wine.
We were at a bed and breakfast recently in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, in the mm Amish country with the whole thing. And this bed and breakfast lady, she comes out and she goes, oh, we're going to have glazed carrots as part of your breakfast. I was like, what the hell? And I tell you what, man, I love those carrots more than anything else. And they were just glazed, mm-hmm, I think, with a simple teriyaki, like it had that sweetness. That's what we're talking about, yeast and that sweetness.
And there
are natural flavors that have sweetness if you just allow them to not be masked by all the other throw on top. Those carrots
mm-hmm
turn, I mean, I'm going to talk to her and say, like, dude, like, we need to talk, not dude, but we need to talk about these carrots. These carrots were amazing. To me, were the star of the dish. And I was excited to
yes
have vegetables at breakfast. It
yes
sounds interesting, but it worked.
Yeah, of course.
It was amazing.
Finally, after all these years, Lisa eats carrots.
Oh, you know I've loved carrots forever. I love carrots. I love carrot juice, anything to do with carrots. But that was, to me, like, I didn't think I would enjoy carrots with my pancakes, and I really did. And she did, like, a true Dutch pancake.
Wasn't it cool. Interesting. You know, I love this, because you see what people cook. Especially bed and breakfast, they take what they do in their home, amplify it for their guests. And it's different everywhere we go. We've had a lot of French toast, but every single one was different.
And some allow you to have Bellinis, like Hummingbird Inn, give us Bellinis.
Yeah,
I'd love that. We've learned
ever
a lot about cooking, too. Like, Ivan, I wish you were there. Like, I think the East Coast, it's like an interesting difference on cooking.
It's so different.
They are like, when we were in Delaware and Maryland and stuff, it feels like they are about the land. We did an interview about Bread and Beauty. It's a cookbook. And these two ladies came together and went out into the farming areas of Maryland and Delmarva, I think, as they call the area. It's like this whole region of Maryland, Delaware, and somewhere else. But this and Pennsylvania is all part of it too, this farming, and they have small farms. And it's like when you go to a restaurant or you go to a B&B, this stuff is really farm to table. Like it's, I would, it's more farm to table. I mean, I've been to Northern California, is very farm to table. San Diego has a big farm to table, but this area seems to be, especially with seafood, and Chef Ivan, you could probably really tap into that. Did you feel like when you were on the East Coast that it was very fresh from the sea to the table? I mean, that's what we've kind of seen this last month or two.
Especially with seafood, growing up in New York, the fresh clams, the fresh oysters, the fresh mussels, the conch. You know, we would make scungili, we would make mussels marinara. Everything was ripe from the market. Everything was coming off the boats. New York, Boston, all of that. Fabulous. Fabulous with seafood.
And we don't eat seafood. So, Marisa, does that sound familiar to you? Coming
that
from
delicious.
That
area? Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if more people gardened. I was even just saying that to my husband today. Like, you know, I was growing up, like, there were seasonal fruits, right? You didn't have strawberries in the winter. Like, that's not what you would. It wasn't available, right? So you would eat with the seasons always. You know, whereas now, and there's no, I guess in a sense, I remember, you know, when summer would come around and there'd be like plums and they would taste so much better than they do today, you know. But mm-hmm. And maybe it's because of that. The whole
oh, my
local
God, a good plum. Oh, my God, a good plum.
We used to grow in New York, upstate, beefsteak tomatoes that I have never found that taste anywhere else in the country other than coming out of New York.
Yeah, my dad too. Yeah.
Ugh.
Where were you from in upstate New York?
Well, I'm from Brooklyn, but we had a small house in Monroe.
Oh, okay.
Monroe, New York, and we would always grow vegetables in the summer, and then we would. Oh, it was magical. Just magical.
So good. Yeah.
Oh my God. I love that.
There's a lot of gardening that goes on.
Gardening, and I know, it's like get your hand in the dirt and understand it.
Yeah,
In South Africa and Kenya, we grew our own vegetables, you know.
It's so
and
cool.
If you didn't, you'd go to the market, and it was like, you're in, like, heaven. It's like the market. Like, you got coming out with sugar cane. They got all the spices. They got everything.
Fun.
I mean,
the market.
The Mercado, man. But like also, and I feel like we need to go back to that. And I think that's what's always cool about you coming on the show, Chef Ivan. You always bring us back to that. But I'm going to, since I forgot everyone else's Champagne Sundays toast, I want to make sure we get your Champagne Sunday toast because we're over time. We're doing, I mean, it is one of those shows, but they're always the best shows, right? So
yes,
what's your toast?
My toast is to a mask. I toast to a mask. This little device that you put on, wrapped around your ears, you walk around, you make sure your nose is covered, a mask. That's what I toast to.
That's a good toast.
Oh, do you have a special mask? Do you have different ones, or are you wearing the temporary ones or the little box out of the blue thingy?
I have a variety. I have those. I have the Tommy Kappa. I have some elastic masks.
Cool.
Yes. I have a whole variety. Yes. Depending what mood I'm in.
I want one that says
Andrea,
who
we were hoping was going to be on the show today, who Suzanne came in to fill in for her. She got Nancy and I a mask each. Nancy has
so
the dog.
Cool.
And Nancy's the dog face, and I'm the cat face. So we're like the dog and cat sitters, you know.
And so the dogs like want to lick my face, and I'm okay with that. And the cats look at Lisa and they're like, "I'm not licking your face."
No, but I will bite you. I'll bite your ankles.
No,
bite
it's
your hands.
So interesting. No. But when you go in the supermarket, people laugh at you and point at you, and we're like, "Okay, thank you."
Yeah, but kids in the bed and breakfast that we were in named us. And so they named Nancy's Clancy, which is interesting. They didn't know her name was Nancy. but they named it Clancy after their dog, and
Clancy.
They named mine Whiskers, which I thought was cute. So there's some kind of thing of unity of conversation pieces, but Marisa, do you have a special mask?
I don't. I have our Portofino masks that, you know, of course we carry. And other than that, when I'm not wearing those, I just wear the traditional, like, non-woven one. We were actually, in early on when this occurred and everything was so hard to get, our factory in China, they since they had already been through it, they were so sweet, and they're like, I'm going to send you just a bunch. So they actually sent me, like, a couple boxes of masks that I shared with, like, our neighbors, and I was sending them out to our customers. So I've been using those for the most part. Yeah.
That's nice. So, you have to think, though, like, you're working with China, and that's something that maybe the rest of the world don't even understand right now, that communication is happening between people in China.
Oh,
if you look at China and this, like, the wall, it's almost like the wall, right? Like, I'm not being political when I say the wall. I'm just saying it's almost like a wall right now with how people think about stuff. But you're having a conversation, and I think that's important what you just said, that they're sending you something to help you move forward, like, and be healthy and happy.
Absolutely. I mean, and there are so many suppliers. I mean, I've been in this business, you know, since 2001. We've been importing, and we've had, like, just, I don't know, probably hundreds of suppliers over the years of different things. And so many of them reached out to us just like, I'm so sorry, and not like they're taking blame. They're just sorry for our situation, and they were saying, like, you know, can we get you this? Or, you know, and so many companies actually selling masks reaching out to us, which I thought was so interesting, because here there was this huge shortage, and I thought, like, well, if I'm just this little importer who could tap into getting masks, like, I don't understand why this isn't, you know, solvable in moments, you know. Anyway, they really were very, like, empathetic and, you know, caring and trying to, you know, help out in any way they could. So,
wow, that's something that never hits the news, ever.
Right, it's true. And I mean, I was like, let me pay you for them, because we can't even find them here. And she's like, no, I'm going to send them, like, express. And I mean, didn't want anything for it. It really just, like I said, I was really impressed by the outreach that came from people I had known in China, you know, so.
Wow, that's really nice. That's really nice to hear. Chef Ivan?
It is.
Yes.
I want to know this. You're going to take a Portofino, and I know you got the backpack. Where are you going to go with it? And take your wine. What wine is in your Portofino backpack, and where are you going to go? I know I've done this to you before, but where would you go? And who would you take for
drink,
a Portofino?
I can't drink the whites.
You're going to take red wine? You can take beer. Take beer. I know you like beer.
Yeah. I like one beer. That's about it. What? Oh, yes. The Predator. He's had it last night. The Predator is in Zinfandel. Smoky, chocolatey, like to die for. You pour a glass, the legs on this wine. And oh, my God. And as it breathes, it changes every 10 minutes.
You're just,
like,
making me hungry.
This wine just takes you. Just takes you.
Wow.
Predator.
It's called
Fabulous.
Predator.
I'm writing it down. That sounds
so
good.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. So where would you go?
California. Where would I go?
Yeah.
Oh.
And who are you taking?
The beach. Tracy,
the beach.
Pickle, the beach.
Yeah.
I would sit there. I'd set up a little table. I'd have a little crusty bread. I'd have a variety of olives, cheese, and peppers.
Yeah.
The wine, I put my feet up. I take no mask. I breathe. I relax.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I just enjoy it.
So, you know, I think, like, there's driftwood. I would go to the beach and would collect driftwood and make a boundary, like, do not come into my space. This is my space.
Nice.
I'm going to sit here with my wine.
Build a little
shack. Special, Nancy.
And my driftwood would be my boundary. Do not come in. Do not cross my driftwood. All right, guys.
Well, thank you so much, Chef Ivan. It's always a pleasure. Marisa, I want to say thank you for joining us as a guest co-host today. Everyone, keep up with Chef Ivan Flowers. His recipes are all up on blendradioandtv.com. His oven-roasted chicken, barbecue chicken is there, and it will be in the next issue of Big Blend Radio and TV magazine. And go to porto-vino.com. I'm telling you, it will change your life of how you enjoy wine. Because
wine
is not supposed to be stuffy. It's supposed to be enjoyed outdoors in some really cool place. Or if you want to sneak it into where you go watch the movies and a Walmart, wherever. Go do it. Go do it. Have a good time.
We've done
it. It doesn't have to be wine. It could be coffee. It does hold coffee, by the way.
It holds coffee.
And listen, when you do big, long road trips like we do, we need coffee. So otherwise, I'll be mean to truck drivers.
We need wine more.
Yeah, I know.
You just get an extra pouch, right? You get your, you have your morning coffee, and then your wine pouch in the evening. That's
perfect. And congratulations on all your new designs, Marisa. All of them really are amazing. I love that you went and said, "Hey, here's a mask, here's a scarf," and you know, because a lot of companies will shy away, but you said, "Hey, we're going to take a stand and do this. We need to all be safe together." And you took your product and said, "We're going to include masks and do a scarf and a package with that, and even hand sanitizer that you can pump out of your bag." Thank you for doing that. So everybody, thank you so much. Everyone, stay safe.
We appreciate you, ladies.
We appreciate you too.
Okay.
Thank you, Chef Ivan, and a big hug to
you're welcome.
And Pickle too. You know, Tracy Rock. We got to give her a shout out too, man. And everyone, thank you for listening. Take care, everybody, and enjoy the rest of the evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.